Okay, so we're kicking off episode 200.
Woohoo!
We are at the Mad River Distillers location in Burlington, Vermont. Happy Mimi and Jesse hosted us here. What are we doing today?
Well, first off, I mean, number one, for those of you who aren't familiar with all of the episodes, all 199 of them existed before this one, you may not know that we actually did episodes from the Mad River Rickhouse in talking with John Egan about all matters venture and cybersecurity related, as well as really tasty bourbon and rye related. And this has been an ongoing part of the mystique of Pwn. And I want to make sure that before we get into talking about cybersecurity, and we're going to do a little bit of McDubswell is going to be a little voice of God. We're going to go back through some key quotes over the last few months. We got a little cup full of quotes, which is pretty great. But I want to take like 2 minutes, credit where credit is due, to talk a little bit about Ransomware Rye, a Justin Finlay special here with the Mad River Distillers, because it's pretty damn tasty and it may be part of the show today as well. So let's talk just a little bit about Ransomware Rye.
Yeah. So initially, it was kind of like a passing comment on the show, right? I said, wouldn't it be fun if this existed? And now dreams become a reality here, and we have Ransomware Rye. And thanks to Mimi for helping hand select a delicious barrel. It's receiving some pretty awesome reviews from all its custodians today.
In fact, and for those of you who are not perhaps in the New Harbor community yet, this is something that, you know, friends and family of the company have gotten to enjoy. This is not something that's generally available. Everything from the artwork on the label to working with Mimi on the mixture, etc., are all in the Viking's Head here. So if you're at all interested, you know, contact your local New Harborite and find out if you can get a swig, because it's worth drinking, and I think we may drink some of it today.
Yeah, and I would, just to add on, Ransomware Rye has been great, but Mad River also makes some other interesting things that is equally delicious. Yeah. And so they actually sell their stuff online, and it's a little bit more easily accessible.
Fact. Cool.
All
right, so back to the nature of the show. So it's been, I've only been along for the last, I don't know how many episodes. Justin had started off the podcast long before I arrived. But over the last 3 years, we've had a blast doing a pile of these episodes. And what we'd like to do is sort of take a look back, right? Take an objective lens to some of the nonsense that we've said over the last, 200 episodes, and see if any of these things still relate. Were we right? Were we wrong? You know, we like to take a lot of credit for Nostradamusing, you know, some of the behaviors that we've seen from investment to technology adoption to some collisions inside the marketplace. But I don't even know what's in the cup, right? So McDubbs has been responsible for creating this. I don't think Justin knows either.
No.
So you're going to find out as we find out what's in here and how all these things played out.
Yeah. So 200 episodes is no joke. We've been doing this for a while. Nostradamus is also no joke. he's gotten a lot of things right, and I'm sure some things wrong as well over the years. But we kind of joke, right? Not joke, but we make light of the fact that, like, we've said some stuff over the years that have actually strangely come true. So I'm hoping that there's some of those in this cup.
Right, that it isn't just a complete castigation of our inability to see what's coming down the road.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yep. Okay.
Cool.
Would you like to do the honors?
Do I get to pick the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
We should.
I think this is a good idea, right? Yeah, we should christen the glasses. Maybe beautiful Mad River glasses. Thank you very much. These things are kicking. We'll have these because I'm sure that at some point during some of these quotes, there are going to be things we shouldn't be saying concerning words that may exist in the pit of despair.
Yeah.
I'd like to toast my compatriot and fellow jabberer here for bringing me along for this beautiful ride.
Yep.
My first putt.
And to McDubbs.
McDubbs for making it all happen. Makes our jobs very easy. And we'd like to toast all of you out there who've made this kind of a blast. Because if it's just us talking, then that's Wednesday, right? But if we're talking and you're listening, that actually makes us feel like it has some value. So here's to everybody involved.
Cheers. delicious.
It is still excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Wow, you Mad River people. You got something going on here. All right, so I'm going to go into the cup of greatness.
Yep.
McDubbs.
This, this feels like a fortune cookie exercise to me.
It does. It does. All right. I didn't even know it's written on the sheet of paper, so here we go. Oh, wow. Your winning lottery number is... No, that's not what it says. All right. So this was a breach of the week. Cafe Press, hot and stinky soup. I think Halls is going to be able to play the real quote from the original episode. But I think in general, this was about an attack that happened. And one of the quotes related to it being a mess that was like hot and stinky soup. So,
do you have the quote there? The actual full quote?
It's a quote from Us. It says, and I thought that this was a pretty good
piece to touch on, and some of the mistakes they had made. And I think they're largely made because of the fact that people didn't expect anyone to ever be attacking their hot tubs.
Anyone to ever attack their hot tubs. Do you remember this? There were two breaches that we talked about on this episode, right? Yeah. But one of them was the hardware-software combo associated with a hot tub manufacturer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the people would take care of it. And I think it was one of our earlier inroads into the IoT slash breachability of PLC kind of marketplace.
Yep. So who said it? Do you think I said it or you said it?
I'm going to say that I said it.
Yeah, I think you did too, actually.
To my embarrassment, right? I think hot and stinky soup is more likely to come out of my stupid mouth.
Yeah, there's a clever wit in the wording there, which tells me it's immediately yours.
Yeah, about that.
Because my brain doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but well, let's just talk about it for a second, though, right? Because we were just having a discussion before the show, because Justin and I both been getting some calls regarding water system security, right? Because there's been at least evidence of a more organized attempt by nation state sponsored groups to be targeting or at least identifying vulnerabilities inside water systems, inside water management systems, right? We saw an attack against Aliquippa in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
We've seen others, you know, over the course of the last couple of years, and we've done some work on it. But I think this is emblematic of the fact that there are different kinds of systems that get tapped because now they're connected to the internet, because it makes them better and more useful. But they haven't necessarily been thought about too hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, this has always been a theme and kind of thread through the industry is once it's connected, has some intelligence behind it, it's automatically open to attack.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting, like, here we are now and, you know, we're in an election year and now we're starting to hear things about, like, the water system hacks and, same vein, this isn't going away. And as we seek a more connected society, like this is only going to get worse.
Yeah. You know? Well, and it's interesting, right? Because I think about it, I was having a discussion yesterday with a couple of folks who understand that the industry pretty well in terms of those control systems and water. And what they were saying was it's so different than private industry, right?
Yeah.
Because they're looking at, let's get some funding, right? And so EPA is really, really tightly involved and is trying to do the right thing. But EPA is like, we really have to get going on this. We got to do a bunch of work. Tell you what, here's $10 million. Go figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's like $10 million is like waste paper baskets coffee money, right, for a lot of cybersecurity firms, right? But it is, unfortunately, people don't think about there being this huge technical component to infrastructure like water. But there is.
Yeah,
and I think we have to help and educate, and all of you can help us with this. educate legislators, educate policymakers that this is a serious problem. There are tens of thousands, I found out yesterday, of different water utilities out there running around.
Yeah.
We're all doing their best, and there's a lot of really smart people who are trying to work on it with CAE.
We're working with quite a few of them.
Yeah. And it's something we have to take more seriously. So I like the hot tub thing. I think that's funny. I think it's sort of like the control of the webcam, sort of baby monitor, photo frame stuff that's happened over the last few years that has sort of a personal consumer edge to it. But I think we should recognize that the same problems exist in places where the damage can be a lot more severe.
Yeah, I like it.
Super. All right.
All right.
That one is gone.
Okay. Next one here. Drum roll. Oh, mine, this is not as long as yours. All right. Ooh, this is fun.
Okay, cool.
Punxsutawney programmer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The quote is, to think that someone
could program an infinite loop into an open source package just feels right to do it on Groundhog Day.
It actually does.
I think that's you. I think that's definitely you.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's you, actually.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we could discuss why. I mean, yeah. To me, because you always have a grasp for sort of what is going on in the community, who's trying to change things, how are they consuming things. The stuff you wrote long before I joined the company on securing things like Ubuntu, you know, all the work that mm-hmm. went on, more technically oriented, it just feels like something you might say.
Yeah, and if it was me, the only thing that I think would be a tip that it was me was that it's shorter. Not.
But, what are you saying, mister?
No. The word complexity isn't as high as what I've seen come out of you. But the play on words actually makes me think it was you.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an interesting place, right, to talk about the open source community and its impact on cybersecurity, right? We know we can discuss all show supply chain issues,
yeah,
right, which come in a variety of different flavors. And we can also talk about what's happening now with generative AI, right, and the poisoning of models mm-hmm. and the creation of new techniques to create inroads and vulnerabilities, because that ecosystem isn't really, really well understood, and that whole data chain, that whole life cycle isn't really well understood.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it was a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah. I think it's I think that part of our industry is only going to get worse from a risk profile perspective. The reason being, and my thinking behind it, is we are more and more an interconnected society. And more people, in an effort to speed to market, seek to interconnect versus to build their own. Right, so there's more, a little bit more of a embracing of like the concept of ecosystem, an integrated ecosystem, more of a fabric, if you will, which also supposes like it's a little bit more of like kind of come as you are and a little bit more open. I foresee things that have more of the ecosystem approach, supply chain, all of the things that are tangentially related to this, are going to continue to be front and center from a risk profile standpoint here now and for the years to come.
I like that. And that speaks directly to what happened here, which was the intentional misuse of that openness of source.
Yeah.
One thing I want to bring up that maybe in the cup of quotes may not be, right, which was the discussion we had on the fact that generative AI and ChatGPT in general is generating software for people, and that there had been some Stanford research done that showed that where cybersecurity was related, I'm going to butcher the context for the quote, but I have the stat right, was that 54% of the time when it made a decision in that kind of sitch around cybersecurity, it made the wrong one and created something that was vulnerable. And so to your point, more people are connecting, more people are federating good bits of functionality from different places. If now they're using generative AI to generate the code, we should recognize the fact that the people who asked generative AI to do that didn't know how to do it themselves, and they're really unlikely to be able to put a skeptical eye on the code that gets generated to see if it's secure or not. So to your point, now we've also got risk, not just from the aggressively motivated outsider, but the accidental, you know, mistakes made by insiders using tools.
Yeah. I feel like it's the overinvestment in the engine to go faster without thinking about how big the brakes are.
Nice. Right. Nice. Or teaching people how to drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's funny. I just got another copy. Mine got lost, of Unsafe at Any Speed from Ralph Nader, which talks about the dangers, the almost designed in dangers of the automotive industry back in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I think you're exactly right. They have built bigger and bigger engines, and nobody's like, well, holy shit, the roads are only 6 inches wide.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
For sure. All right. Your turn.
All right. Excellent. We're back to the cup of goodness. I'm hoping mine is short. But it's not. Oh, Shout out Glenn Bressner, formerly Atlantic Ventures of some kind. Anyway, sometimes, the title of the episode was Sometimes You Should Argue the Price of Champagne.
Oh.
This is one of my very favorite quotes. But I'm not sure if this is me talking about it until I read it.
You'd be much better off getting the right investor at the right valuation and get you the support that you need, because at the end, everyone will be super successful.
Everyone will be super successful. I don't know. I just feel like mine would be more colorful if it was me. Because this is one of the, like, for those of you who haven't heard the episode, it's one of our earlier episodes. Yeah. Mid-Atlantic Capital, Glenn Bressner.
It was a very simple quote, therefore it must be you.
No, not simple, just straightforward and meaningful as opposed to me putting on the color in it. Well, only because, like, this, so listeners know I've founded a couple of companies, but this was the first company, and I was going off for my first round, and I knew almost nothing. And I was meeting with a guy named Glenn Bressner, who was a partner in a firm, and you know, we're just talking about stuff. And I think at the time I was a little bit further along with some of the other investors. And so maybe, you know, he wasn't going to get to the dance. And he's like, listen, you're doing good work. Cybersecurity is really important. I want you to remember, never argue over the price of champagne, right? And I think you and I had this conversation because we were talking about these $100 million rounds on a $1 billion valuation. And yay, let's go. And we were like, wow, this was like 2021. We're like, wow, this seems like it might be dangerous, right? You take too much money, you spend too much money. You find yourself in a valuation hole in 2023. But, you know, and this is one of those Nostradamus things that Justin was talking about earlier. But it was a great, for me at least, it was a great lesson and really, really smart, finding the right partner. I don't care whether you're looking for a job or you're looking for an investor or you're trying to find what tech to buy. You know, picking the right partner who you share values with, right, and that share your view of what the world can be, a lot better than just having somebody pay you more.
Yeah. Let's go a little bit deeper, though, on this. So kind of when that quote was made last year, year before, a lot's changed.
Fact.
Right? And there's now in 2024, there's a clear difference, marked difference between the haves and the have-nots in the industry. And there's people that I believe that who have found the right investor who are still continuing to operating
Fact.
And thriving today. And there's, I'm going to go ahead and let me say, there's only a small handful out there who actually know what they're doing. There's a lot of others who opportunistically hopped into something that they're probably unqualified to do. And in turn, I mean, it's fine to deploy capital, but you also don't have the expertise. You've never done it before. You've never been in the industry having to scale and understand the nuances and the challenges. And I think we've seen some of those companies start to struggle here in the land of expensive money and higher interest rates. Yeah.
As usual, you said something that just made me think, right? Which is, if someone does take on that uneducated investor and things start to go sideways, right? They invested not knowing why, but because the market said it was a good idea, or they just had this gut feel it was a good idea. So they don't know why they invested. And now if things go sideways, they're not going to understand why it went sideways.
Yeah.
But I will wager that they're not going to invest again, and definitely not at those levels, because now they don't have sort of the tailwind of everybody else saying it's a good idea. Now they have to justify to the limiteds, to the other partners as well, why is this a good idea, considering the last $100 million you put in is like almost worth nothing now, or it's worth $50 million now, right?
Yeah,
and so really, really problematic. And I'm wondering, as you were saying, sort of the have and the have-nots, I wonder if we find ourselves in a world, in cybersecurity particularly, where you've got the haves and the won't-haves, right? They had it, and some people will continue to have it. To your point, they get good investors, good support, good advisory function, all that stuff. And the ones who don't have that aren't going to have it. It's just over.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. The it's kind of confusing. I would imagine for anybody who's a startup founder listening to this and you're in the product space, you're trying to figure out how to get started, and you find someone who's willing to give you dollars, isn't always the person who has the most experience, right? And so if your choice is to continue to go forward with your product with someone who doesn't know as much, but you have dollars, is pretty an enticing thing. Mm-hmm. But where we are even today in 2024, like all investors, I shouldn't say all, there's a lot that are willing to hang out a shingle claiming to be a cyber investor. But when you ask them, like, how many do you have in your portfolio? They're like, we haven't found the right one yet.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. That means you have none and you also have no experience. Like, and I, to be honest, like, I don't want you cutting teeth on mine.
Right on. Well, and think about how different cybersecurity companies are. Right? You've got what we do, help lots of people, get this stuff going, a lot of different technology expertise. Then yeah. You've got companies like CrowdStrike, really good at analytics and cybersecurity and software margins, right? And this, and what in the hell would make a great software investor good as an investor in a services company?
Yeah.
Right? It's a very, very, very different marketplace in terms of the way you develop what you develop, how you push what you push, how you sell what you sell, margins you're expecting, all the rest of it. And so saying you're a cybersecurity investor, it sort of bespeaks a lack of understanding about how diverse the market is.
Yeah, yeah. Tough landscape.
Right on.
All right, it's my turn.
Your turn, Bip.
All right. I feel like we should do, was it Toby Keith saying about the Red Solo?
Right, so we'll fill that up with ransomware. Why? Ryan, whoever gets the last question wrong has to finish it.
Yeah. It's like a game of like hot potato here.
I say, well, since I start, I know you're going to get the last one, so it works for me.
This is a clever wit. Oh, man. I didn't wear my bifocals. All right, ready?
Yes, sir.
Parsing through cybersecurity product TUD, the T.
But it's hard in the world of like marketing, like mumbo jumbo. Like how do you tell them apart?
TUD. What was TUD? Something uncertainty and doubt, threat uncertainty and doubt,
technical uncertainty and doubt,
technical uncertainty and doubt.
Whatever TUD was. It's a great idea
at the time.
Yeah, I'm probably sure it was infused. So, in the world of marketing mumbo jumbo, how do you tell them apart? It's a great question.
Yeah.
Even still, like even when we made, even when we said this, it's a challenge. Then I actually think it's gotten worse now.
Yeah. I agree because AI now pollutes everything.
Yeah, it's the giant polluter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough landscape. It was a tough landscape then when we said it. I think it's harder.
Yeah.
Harder now, and I think it's getting harder. And even when I read, even personally, I've been doing this for a long time, over 20 years, and
his beard was like this little tiny thing.
I didn't even have one. I wasn't even shaving then. but now it's like even I look at stuff and. Like the words have gotten better and the engineers say the right thing, but it's only now seemingly it's only when you try to do a technical deep dive of like tell me more when you realize like stuff actually falls over that.
Yeah.
It's not what it claims to be.
Yeah. I think we suffer in our industry from because cybersecurity is never 100%, right? We use trite aphorisms, right? But never 100%. Historically we've asked people how does it work? How will you protect me against ransomware? How will you do a better job of crypto? How will you, you know, make sure you're doing good naming, whatever? And that how is so Byzantine, right?
Yeah,
it just is. And I think what we want to do, and we've talked about this in a few of the episodes, is demanding why. Like, why am I using you? What exactly are you going to stop? Don't tell me how. I don't care how. Swing a dead cat. Don't care how. Tell me exactly what you're doing. And I think that it could very well be what the through line was on that episode, right? Which is if you're a bank or statewide authority, whatever, and you're like, I need to protect the individuals against XYZ threat, demand that vendors tell you how they're going to protect you against that threat, like what they're specifically going to do.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I immediately come back to the endpoint company we were talking to that one time. On the surface, everything sounded great.
Right on.
Great, great, great. To have you come in and like ask some really like technical questions, which were deeper than I could go in the space. So like it's clearly your area of expertise and you've done it before. But to hear them respond to it, you're like, yeah, I was doing that in like 94.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, let's close the chapter in this book and move on. But I feel bad for any customer who doesn't know that client. Like, they just get sucked into the scheme.
Well, I just think about how much more advanced you are than most of the people that we try to help. Right? How many of them...
I'm not sure I'm too advanced, but based on the quotes that were here.
No, but seriously, dude. I mean, I go to you with technical questions all the time. Right? And so we're getting a technical presentation, mid-level technical, from a company, and it looks like what they're doing is super innovative and super cool. And then we ask them a couple of questions, and I think the questions would have been fine for even a well-educated, experienced person. Yeah. Think about what it'd be like for like the business-focused person who used to be in charge of like financial operations or risk management or compliance, mm-hmm. who now finds himself here and recognizes they need a better job of anomaly detection on the endpoint. And they say, so how does this work? And they say, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, right? Yeah. And they say, awesome, that sounds great, right?
Yeah.
I mean, where's the recourse?
Yeah.
Because these people don't even know that they don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of not fair.
Yeah, it's really not fair. I mean, it's, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. It's not fair. I love it.
Cool.
All right.
Next. Jeepers Creepers, this is like 600 of these things.
Yeah.
This will be the 201st episode. All right, here we go. Oh, thank goodness. It's a right swipes. Meat Market March.
All the things that happen before you go to the chapel. It's all the bad decisions. You know, you drank too much, you gambled too much. Next thing you know, there's more bad decisions, and here we are.
You.
What?
That's definitely you.
I thought for sure that was you.
No.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a realistic appraisal of being hyper-infused, it's always you.
Yeah. Meat Market March.
Yeah.
Meat Market March. Yeah.
I think that was March of 2023.
Yeah?
Right? I'm assuming March 2023, or maybe March 2022. Because I remember there was a period where there was a pile of acquisitions in a single month. Right? We saw a lot of pairing off. And I think that part of the episode's theme was, oh, check it out. People don't want to miss the bus.
Yeah.
Right? They're watching people leaving the bar and they're afraid they're going to be all alone.
Yeah, yeah. There was... Jeez, I'm blanking on the name of the publication at this exact moment, but we can post it for folks. But there was an individual, a gentleman who was writing a lot.
From Crunchbase.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's awesome. I can't remember the last name. We'll put it in the list, but he's excellent. Yeah,
and I recall that we had been reviewing a lot of those, and he'd been writing a lot about it, just the velocity of the industry. And this was like one more on the heels of us being like, what the F is going on?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, here we are. The Reapers come back.
Oh, God, tough. And there really was this, it felt like a view that there was infinite revenue to be had. And so companies who had success were picking up other overvalued companies who had moderate success and figuring they could just sell more because, hey, there'll always be 1.5 crap tons of money to spend on cybersecurity until there wasn't anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And as business had to retrench, it was bad.
Which comes back to my point, I've been saying for a long time, is the total addressable market for cyber is overinflated.
Fact.
Yeah. One day when I actually have time to sit down and mathematically prove it out,
we'll do this again. And, you know, maybe it's a topic, it's definitely a topic for another day, right? But my view is that there is definitely a limit, and we're spending the money in almost all the wrong ways.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If I think about why is cybersecurity so expensive, why is it so underfunded, why is so many empty jobs, it's because it's so much harder than it has to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I come back to like what you and I were talking about earlier, which is, I can't remember the exact example, but it was $10 million applied to like utilities, right? And we're like, that's kind of a drop in the bucket. But like, that's also a lot of spread.
Right on.
Like, should that be a drop in the bucket, or should it be something more like tangible and material, right?
Yeah.
And if we went to like Mimi and said, "Hey, I'm going to give you $10 million to buy supplies with," she's like, she's making hay for like a long
time.
Right on.
That would last you like 6 weeks.
Right. But our industry is just kind of like we throw it. I feel like we're making the same. I feel like we throw it away.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. It does not have to be this hard. If people said the right way to handle pick your healthcare problem of choice, smoking and congestive lung disease and all the rest of the badness that happens. If we said, well, the right way to solve that is we're going to spend $8 trillion on more hospitals and more iron lungs and more whatever, whatever technology used to support people who find themselves in that state. People be like, can't you do something about making the disease less prevalent? Can't you help people understand that this particular habit's bad for them?
Yeah. Right?
And that's what you see happen in the rest of the world. In cybersecurity, we're like, wow, still vulnerable, buy some more stuff.
Yeah.
Right? We don't go back and say, why is the operating system or the web browser or the application still vulnerable? You know, why is access control still so hard to manage? Why do mailers allow phishing scams through all the time?
Yeah.
We don't ask those questions. We say, I got an idea, another Band-Aid.
Yeah, yeah.
Band-Aids are expensive, and that's all you got.
Right. The situation calls for stitches, but a Band-Aid will work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right. What do we say? How are we doing on time here? I think we make this one our last one?
Yeah, let's make this one our last one.
All right. This is going to be good.
It's going to be awesome.
My gut tells me it's going to be great.
Hope it's really long.
It's not. Okay. Beyond the badnessometer.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
So if the badnessometer says you've got a problem, you probably got a problem, right?
You got a problem, right?
Hmm. Yes.
What do you think?
I remember this. I don't know who the quote is. It is short enough. It could be you with your concise verbiology. It could be me because I hate the badnessometer, right? And I think typically I use it to refer to automated pen testing. Right. If the badnessometer says your application is vulnerable, your application is really freaking vulnerable.
Yeah, I think it's you.
Hmm. So Halls is going to have to do the tally.
Well, yeah. See who scored higher here.
Well, at least who had a better recollection of it.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm pretty sure I said all of them were yours. So the fact that if you picked me for any of them, then you're probably right at least one of the times.
But the badnessometer, that's another cybersecurity thing, right? We have a bunch of brute force blunt tools that we use, right? Yep. The equivalent of the wedge in terms of the tool hierarchy. And so when it says that something's bad, we're like, oh, I guess I better fix that thing. But what we really should say is, it's like if smoke alarms only went off when the temperature inside the room was like 300 degrees Celsius. Yeah. Hey, it tells us when there's a fire. Like, but by the time that goes off, everything's pretty crispy. Yeah, fact, right? But that's kind of where we're at. The tools that we have, because of just the nature of the way they've evolved and people's understanding of the problem space, by the time they notice something, something's got to be pretty damn wrong.
Yeah. I've long been of the opinion, and I think a lot of people hate this, especially product companies, product companies are part of the issue.
No fact.
100%. And because cyber is in the position that it's in, people with alert fatigue, we have overspending, we have this problem, and we have record spending, and we still have record amounts of breaches, tells me we are completely inept and incapable of making, holistically, making the right solutions for the problem. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying there's a large percentage of manufacturers are not qualified to solve this problem. Right
on.
And so because of that, like, you're kind of further exacerbating like the issue within our industry, and the issues trace back to my opinion, the product manufacturers.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know if you noticed, and this will be current-ish at the time this episode goes out, but SolarWinds just announced the results that they had done a self-security assessment following their events from a year or two ago with CISA and I think the SEC, whoever manages it. And they're like, here it is. I can't find it anywhere. Like, it says it exists. Everybody's writing about it, but I haven't been able to find the assessment to see if I believe that it's enough to see what it is. But I think that that's the first sort of hesitant, stumbly kind of step towards the vendors taking responsibility for the fact that they're creating a lot of these issues.
Yeah. I like it, man. We should end on that one.
Excellent.
So episode 200 in the books. Cheers.
Sir.
Cheers, my friend.
To you.
And Dubs well.
McDubs. Doesn't happen without you.
All right. Episode 200 in the books. If you are listening and watching to this, thank you so much for following us. Again, we're at Mad River Distillers in Burlington, Vermont. And thank you to the entire Mad River Distillers team, Mimi, Jesse, for hosting us here today. If you have comments, questions, pwned@newharborsecurity.com. And episode 200 is a big...
It's seminal.
Yeah, so it's a big milestone. And as such, we're going to take a little bit of pause in programming, conclude this season. We're going to regroup and figure out what next season holds for us. So
yeah, and we'd like to hear from you, right? So if there are people you'd like us to talk to as Jess and I go through this and try to think about a different way to add value to the way you're thinking about cybersecurity and the way we want to talk about it, if the people you think we should be interviewing, if you think there are topics we should cover, if there's types of episodes you think we should do, you know, we want to hear from you because you're the folks who make the whole thing happen.
Yeah, awesome. And we'll get you in the next episode.